Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
I woke up in the middle of the night this morning and cried and prayed and remembered and pledged to God and danced and sang and felt sorry and regretted and buried old bones and dug them up and threw them all around the room and was quiet, then hopeful again. That's an original inspirational piece called Woke Up in the Middle of the Night This Morning, written by my very special guest this evening, Mr. Robert Wesley Branch. He agreed to help me celebrate the one-year anniversary of A Touch of Grace and even selected the topic for the show this evening, the meaning in our milestones. And in all honesty, it really actually fit this moment in time perfectly. It was a year ago today that I hosted and produced my very first Blog Talk radio show. Now, I was in the midst of heartbreak, but as they say in show business, the show must go on, and it did. And here I am now, 1 year later, interviewing one of the most positive brothers that I have ever encountered in life before. With that said, I'd like to welcome you, the faithful listeners, to the 1 year A Touch of Grace anniversary show. I am five-time self-published author G.D. Grace, host and producer of the show. Today's date is Friday, September 2nd, 2011, and the time is 8 p.m., on the West Coast and 11 p.m. on the East Coast. I am broadcasting live out of the San Francisco Bay Area. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome an extraordinary man who has become a friend as well as an encouragement and confidant to me. He is the producer and host of his own highly rated Blog Talk radio show, The Robert Wesley Branch Show. He is also a motivational speaker, a writer, and television producer. And here he is, right as I speak. Welcome to the show, Robert. I hope I didn't leave anything out.
Oh, no, that was great, man. Thank you so much. I'm very, very happy to be here. Congratulations on your one-year anniversary of your show. I'm very proud of you and glad to see you doing something that brings your heart a lot of soul satisfaction. So that's great. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be here on A Touch of Grace, because you were the one that helped me get started in this whole thing. And, you know, you kind of showed me the ropes and then encouraged me to get out here on my own. And so it is a great day. It is a very great day. Now, that wonderful piece that I opened the show up with this evening is a great way to start the show. Now, I know you have changed how you eat and have incorporated exercise into your daily routine. You are now over a year with your early morning walks, which I consider a mainstay or a milestone for you. So the first question I have for you, Robert, is when did you realize that you wanted to change certain aspects of your life for a healthier existence?
Well, thank you for reading that poem. That was I appreciate that. I wasn't expecting that. That was a surprise for me. I wrote that many, many years ago, probably back in the early 90s, and I wrote that poem because at that time, I don't remember exactly what was going on in my life specifically the day that I wrote it, but I remember in general what was happening in my life, and it was a dark place. I was not in a happy place in my life like I am now. Like, I'm in a very happy place now, but back in those days, I'm 45, so that was probably, I was in my 20s maybe when I wrote that, or early 30s. And it was just a dark place, even though it didn't look dark to other people, because I always had good jobs. You know, people tend to judge you and tend to make your profile based upon what they see. I had good jobs, always had money. I grew up in a family that was prosperous. So things looked good, but on the inside, my soul, my spirit, my thoughts about myself, my own esteem was very low. And so that's where that poem came out of, just waking up one night and just really doing battle with my soul. You know, who am I? What am I? You know, where am I going? What is this all about for me? All of that stuff. And that's where that piece came from. And then just at the end of all of that, there's just a quiet and then hope. And then you go back to sleep. So that's really where that piece came. As for the exercise and the diet and all of that stuff, to be really completely transparent with you, those are changes that I have wanted to make for years and did not make them. I mean, I was the type of brother who was a corporate executive for many years and did the 3 martini lunches on some days. I remember being on the Amtrak going from Washington to either Philadelphia. I did a lot of television business in Philadelphia and a lot of television business in New York. And I would go be on the train all the time in the morning, like 7, 8 o'clock, sometimes 6 o'clock in the morning. And I would be throwing back Bloody Marys like one after the other in the morning. And the conductors, you know, they knew. They would just keep me loaded all the way to New York. And by the time I got there, and I have meetings all day long, by the time I got there, I would be lit like a Christmas tree at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
And
you may not have known. I had colleagues who were with me on the train. I won't call their names out because they're all still professionals doing what they do. But we all did it. We all drank all the way to New York. So these are changes that I have been wanting to make for a long time in my life, but they just never happened. Then it was a period where I went into heavy drug use and still had jobs. I mean, still was very professional and did what I had to do. I was a functioning drug addict. I did my work, but when I came home from doing my work, I did drugs. Many, many people who are listening do the same thing.
Exactly.
They do the same thing. They get high as a kite when they are home. But they get up and go to work the next day, whether they're drinking or smoking weed or smoking crack or, you know, snorting cocaine or whatever the drug of choice is. People, a lot of people are functioning drug addicts, and I was certainly one of those. That was something that I wanted to change. That went on for 10 years of my life. So it wasn't until the drug use ended earlier, but the food and the exercise really just happened about a year ago, when I decided to finally put some things into action in my life. I had left a corporate job. Many people who listen to my radio show have heard these stories before. But for your listeners, I'm happy to share them again, because I really do. The reason why I share these things is because I think they will help people, not just to tell my business, but because I really
exactly. So people. You go for it, because that's why I had you on here. So you just do what you do.
Right. So I was just sharing because I know that this will help free somebody else out there. But when I left my corporate gig in 2009, the last time, I did that in 2005, I left another television job. And in 2009, I left my most recent one, December of 2009, and really didn't know what I was going to do next. It was a leap of faith. I knew I wasn't happy where I was. I knew that there was something else that God had for me. I knew that there was another path that God had for me. I didn't really know what it was, but I knew that it wasn't what I was doing at that place. And I left, completely leap of faith. And sitting in that space of the unknown, I just really decided to, now is the time to just be everything that I've always wanted to be but haven't been able to make happen for myself. You know, many of us just come to a place where we say, now is the time to dig deep for everything that I know is in there that has not shown itself until now. And that's what happened. Okay. And I just decided to really, really just mind my soul and get rid of everything that I knew was standing in the way of my highest calling. And about a month, I left that job in December. Really January 1st, December 31st was my last day, 2009. January, that first week in January, I got on a train. I went to Montreal. I stayed there for the whole month of January. And I just stayed in a hotel room, basically, in Montreal, Quebec, in Canada. And just, it was snowing there. I was snowed in the whole time. I would go out and get food and come back to the hotel room and just sat there and said, what am I going to do? Looking out that window, saying, what am I going to do next in my life? And that's when I decided to do this radio show. I had signed up for Blog Talk Radio before I took that last corporate job in 2008. Really, the last part of 2007, I had signed up for an account, not even really knowing what it was, but just looked interesting. And then I got that TV gig, and I never really did anything with that show, with the idea of having the show. So in that hotel room in Montreal, I decided to go back to that.
Let me interrupt you for just a second, just for clarification. So that means that when I met you, and I didn't mean to cut you off, and you can definitely continue because this is very compelling. In March, then, when I did that show with you, I was one of the first shows that happened on the Robert Wesley Brand Show.
We started February 6th. So
wow.
We had about a month of, I think you were with us April 10th, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
For the Back to Addiction show. So you were with us April 10th. We started February 6th. So we had about 2 months of shows before you were one of our guests.
Amazing. Amazing. So here you are. You're in Quebec. I believe that's where you said you were. And had already signed up for Blog Talk Radio. And you had taken this other gig. And then you finally decided that you were just going to dive right in. So would you say that you would that moment for you have been your milestone? Would that have been a milestone for you at that moment?
The milestone for me, sitting in that hotel room in Montreal, eating Chinese food, and looking out the window at being pretty much being snowed in, because it was really, and I loved it because it was tucked into the mountains. Montreal is, for those who have been there, and it's just nice, and I loved it. I love snow. I love inclement weather. So just really sitting there, I found a direction. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Remember when you signed up for Blog Talk Radio?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." So I had my computer with me. So I went back and looked at the account number and signed on and created a page and named the show, and really the vision for the show came in Montreal. And when I got back at the end of that month, at the end of January, that following week, February 6th, we started. And so to answer your first question, throughout the course of doing that show every week, which I still do to this day, doing that show every Saturday for 2 hours, we started off very newsy because that's my background. So we started off talking about Haiti and the earthquake. The earthquake happened there, I think, the second week in January. We started in February, so it was fresh. But doing that show every week with my co-hosts, at that time, Maisha and Michelle and Dante, and just really talking to each other every week, week after week after week, and putting those shows together. I'm a producer, so I know how to package shows. I know how to research content and book guests. Doing that every week really allowed for the sort of blossoming of my soul. And so it really allowed for me to really step into putting into place in an action step everything that I had been wanting to do, the changes that I had been wanting to make for years. And that's really what started happening. So we started in February. I started talking about healthy living and healthy eating and how to be better and trying to inspire other people. And May of that year, which was last year, I stopped eating meat. Later that year in August, I started exercising every day, every single day, because we would have these moments on the show where we would talk about these positive things, and I didn't want to be in a position where I was putting forth one face for other people and telling people to do something or encouraging people to do something in their lives that I wasn't doing in mine. And that's really what got me entrenched on this path that I'm in now. Not to get up there every week and say ABC and I'm doing DEF.
Gotcha.
And so getting on there every week and talking about the stuff we were talking about, it made me, it forced me, it put me in a position to be accountable and to have integrity for the things that I was saying. And that's really how all the changes started to happen.
Well, you know what, and I know that, you know, in the beginning I was listening to a lot of your shows. And then, of course, as you develop your own passion, you start kind of branching away. But whenever I come back to your shows, they're just amazing. But for the listening audience out there, because our lives are kind of parallel, you know. You were way up there. I was in the corporate world as well, too. But then at some point in time, you do have this moment. My moment yielded a poem called Happy, you know, where I woke up one day after I tried to kill myself, woke up, and I was still there and decided that I needed to dig deep. So why do you think we should get excited about these moments in our lives? For anybody out there listening that doesn't understand,
well, I think that everybody has to look in their own lives and see what their milestones mean to them. What my milestones mean to me are different than what yours mean to you, because I'm on a different path and I have a different purpose. So we each have to know our purpose and know the path that we're on and celebrate the milestones that we have on that path. Now, you can't do that unless you have some kind of vision about where you're going and have some kind of understanding about where you've come from. So that's a lot right there. I mean, just what I just said is a lot. Knowing your purpose, knowing the path you're on, having a vision, being able to be introspective enough where you can reflect, those are a lot of tools that are required. Mm-hmm. But when you have those and when you begin to put those in place, you can look at the milestones in your life and see the meaning in them. You can see why you experienced what you experienced, and you can get a glimpse and some understanding into why you are where you are right now. Only you know what this milestone of reaching a year means for you, what that means for you.
Right,
you know what that is.
Exactly, and you know, some of these, you know, invoke certain emotions, you know, because of a lot of experience in life are milestones such as getting older, gaining weight, moving out on your own, death and loss, et cetera. But some of these events take more out of us. But why do you think it's that some of us get trapped for long periods of time in the impact before we reemerge from them?
Why do we get trapped in our experiences before we emerge from them?
Yeah.
My approach to these kind of questions really is personal, because I can only answer for myself. I think why
mm-hmm.
I was trapped in the dark place that I talked about earlier was because
mm-hmm.
of the things that happened to me in my life, the things that were said to me in my life. You know, when you're a child and you have certain traumas, I was not abused, I was not molested, I don't have any issues like that. But I certainly
right.
have a lot of emotional pain in my life. And when
mm-hmm.
you have that kind of emotional pain, there's a time in your life, particularly when you're a child, where children will throw rocks at you metaphorically and physically. And then there's a
yeah.
time in your life when the rocks will stop, but you'll pick the rocks up and throw the rocks at yourself. In other words, if you believe what people have said about you all your life, then you will begin to abuse yourself long after they stopped abusing you with their words. And that was certainly the case with me.
You just made me tear up when you said that. That's why I love listening to you, man. You said at one point in your life, they'll be throwing rocks at you, and then it'll stop. And then you'll start throwing the rocks at yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that
oh, wow.
is the truth, man. That is the truth, because that kind of abuse that you get when children throw rocks. That's just what children do. Metaphorically,
right.
they throw rocks with their words. But they'll stop at some point. But if you believe all of that, if you take all of that in and that becomes your story that you tell yourself, you will begin to live the rest of your life, believe long after those other people are gone, believing the things that other people said about you. You'll believe it. You'll take it on to yourself. And those rocks are then coming from you. So that was my story. So I had low self-esteem based upon some of the things that had happened to me in my young
mm-hmm.
life. That's what happened. And so as an adult, I carried all of that emotional baggage with me. And instead of
mm-hmm.
having the freedom and liberation to speak on it and to begin the healing process from it, what I chose to do, which many people do, I chose to avoid it, avoid myself. You know, you can avoid yourself. I don't know if people out there know what I'm talking about, but it is possible
to
completely avoid yourself every day, you know. And drugs are about avoidance. Alcoholism is about avoidance. Food addiction is about avoidance. Sexual addiction is about avoidance. Lust, many times in many people's lives, having an abundance of sexual partners is about avoiding yourself. Avoiding what you really need, who you really are, what you really want to be doing with your life, the kind of person you really want to be in your life. You know, it wasn't until I was 33 that I'm 45 now. Wasn't until I was 33 that I looked in the mirror and thought, you know what? I really do like you. I mean, you are a cool dude. That was a
mm-hmm.
major milestone for me. Because I never
and you
really
know what, and that didn't come from an arrogant place. When you just said that for me, because I know of the transformation that has been happening in my life, that's not an arrogant thing. Loving yourself is not arrogant. You know, it's necessary to love yourself before you could start loving anybody else.
I would certainly agree with that. I'm not afraid of the word arrogant. That like some people are. So even if it were an arrogant thing, I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. I think it takes a touch of arrogance to live and to be successful and to be functioning in this world. I don't think arrogance is a bad thing, but I definitely hear what you're saying. And it wasn't coming from a place of arrogance. It was coming from a place of discovery, of discovering my value in this world, the treasure that I am. Like, I didn't know that. I would always hear what other people said. I knew I was a good dresser. I knew I was smart. Mm-hmm. You know, people always told me I had nice clothes and I was smart. I knew that. I knew that from a young age, that I was mm-hmm. smart. I knew I had a brain that worked well when I used it for good purposes. I knew mm-hmm. that. I knew I was a mm-hmm. wise man. I knew that God had given me a lot of wisdom. Early pain tends to build wisdom in people that are truth seekers. I knew that. Mm-hmm. So I was in touch with that. But I'm talking about liking myself. I'm talking about looking in the mirror and going, I really want to hang out with you. You know, I really like being around you. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't come until I was 33.
And you know what, and that really is important, which brings me to this other question. You know, and again, you know, this is just a broad question. And I know that the question is probably going to get back to the personal, because this is what it's all about. We're sharing for the people, somebody out there that could possibly be listening. And I know that anybody listening out there that just heard your testimony about what you were just saying, they're going to get something out of this. And I know they're going to walk away from it, because I know I did. When I first encountered you, man, I was at a place in my life where I was very happy and confident with who I was. And then I met you, and you were very positive, and you were doing things. You were very progressive, and that was, like, infectious. So this is why I need to ask this question. For anybody who's out there listening, why do you think it is so important for us to acknowledge our milestone?
Why is it important for us to acknowledge our milestones? I think you have to know. Well, just let me ask you a question. When you say milestones, tell me what you mean when you say milestones, so I understand exactly what we're talking about.
The moments in life where we conquer or overcome something, and then are successful, whatever that success is, and then are able to move on and maybe inspire others, you know, or be better people ourselves.
Okay, so you're asking me, why is it important for us to acknowledge that?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge your milestones so that, I mean, everyone needs motivation and enthusiasm. And one of the arts of life, one of the tricks in life, one of the keys is to learn how to motivate yourself and encourage yourself. There's a gospel song out there that I love by a woman named Sherry Jones Moffat, I think is her name. And it's called Encourage Yourself. And there's an art to that. The older I get, the more I realize that it is wise and crucial and necessary to become your number one cheerleader, to become your own best friend. That is a life key right there. So by acknowledging your milestones, by saying, you know what, I made it through that. I used to be on drugs for 10 years, and I'm not anymore. You know, hooray for you, Robert. I'm glad you did that. You know, I used to eat meat. I don't anymore. I'm a healthier person because I don't anymore. My spirit is more centered and aligned because that was a calling for me. And everything that we're talking about is not for everybody to do. I'm alcohol-free. That's not for everybody. Everybody is not called to an alcohol-free life, but I am. The thing is to know that if you're called to do something, because here's the suicide. Here's the slow suicide that many people are engaged in. They know one thing, and they're doing another. That's the trap. Whatever you know about yourself to be true, you have to live that way. Because if you don't, you're setting up a divided house in your soul and in your spirit. So because I'm called to an alcohol-free life, which God told me that over 20 years ago, but I still lived for the last 19 years as a person who consumed alcohol, that's a problem. That's a mm-hmm. problem. So when you finally stand up inside of yourself and say yes to yourself and stand up, you should acknowledge that. And it's not even a should. You automatically acknowledge it when you love yourself. When you love mm-hmm. yourself, mm-hmm. you automatically acknowledge the things that are good. Now, I have little celebrations for everything. If I wake up and it's a month since I've done something that I didn't want to do, I have a little special meal for that. I've learned how to celebrate myself, the everyday moments that make me happy and that are milestones in my life. Because here's the empowerment for people who are listening. When you do that, you don't get all excited when somebody else does that for you. I mean, it would be nice if you took me out to dinner because I've been meat-free for a year and I would enjoy it. But I'm not dependent upon you to do that. I do that for myself. So I'm not going to get all excited thinking you're the best thing that ever happened in my life when you show up and do that for me. I'm already doing that for myself. You got to come with something else because I'm already doing that. I'm already celebrating me. So you can't come and think that you celebrating me is going to make me all that happy. I might enjoy it, but I don't need you for that.
Oh, man, I'm almost about to jump out of this chair, man.
You hear what I'm saying? I might want you to do it, but I don't need you for that.
I love that, man. So you already answered this question earlier, because I already know that you're happy in life right now. But where do you see yourself about 10 years from now, Mr. Robert Wesley Branch?
10 years from now, when I'm 55, I'm 45 now, when I'm 55, I would like to be writing books that inspire, encourage, and motivate people. I would like to have a cookbook, to be honest with you. I want to have a cook, not just recipes, though. I want recipes for your kitchen table and recipes for your soul. That's what I'll be writing, books that combine the two of those things, just recipes for your soul, because I think it is important what you put in your body, but it's also important what you put into your soul and what you feed your soul. So that's the kind of books I would like to write. Writing books and doing exactly what I'm doing now, you know, continuing to have a successful media ministry and inspiring people and encouraging people. And by that time, you know, I've hoped to be living not only in the United States, but in France, where I've spent a lot of time. I hope to be between those two places. And just happy with a family. I'm definitely going to have some children in my future. And
all right.
And that legacy I want to continue forward. And just building the same things, what you see now, with God, if God is willing, is the same thing that you will see in 10 years.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a quick call because we've got about 3 minutes left. And I am so glad.
That's going to be a quick call for 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be a real quick call. So here, I just want to give one. Let me see if they'll talk.
All right.
We've got 318-790 on the line. Do you have a question for Robert?
Actually, I have a comment in regards to the self-encouragement that Robert was just talking about a minute ago. And I just wanted to say that was a bit of a confirmation for me, because for a very long time, about 10 years, I relied on people to, I waited on them to try to encourage me versus, encouraging myself. But the second God had grabbed me and say, sometimes you got to encourage yourself to go forward. And once I did that, it's like I set myself free.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Right. And I want to thank you for that, and thank you for your comments for tonight's show. For anybody listening, that's going to actually add to the chain that we're creating right now tonight. So I thank you for that. So I'm looking here at the time. And,
let me just say one quick 10-second thing about that. The powerful thing about what he said is that once you master encouraging yourself, it changes how other people relate to you. I think that's an important point. Other people will relate to you differently when they see you loving yourself, just like other people will treat you a certain way when they see you not loving yourself. Predators will prey on you when they see you not loving yourself. That's the important part about doing it.
Exactly. And I'm glad that he added on to what you said. And I'm glad that you tagged on to what he said, because you're absolutely right. People will look and take advantage of that weakness that they see in you. But then once you have learned to love yourself and you have learned to celebrate your own successes and everything, it's almost like it's like a shield of it's like an armor that you wear that they can't touch you. Yeah. So before this show kind of winds down, because it's already winding down right now, I just want to let everybody know that it's been an indeed pleasure over this year to bring you some of the best and gifted in the literary and the entertainment field to the show. But I also
am I your first non-literary guest?
No, actually, I had a singer-songwriter by the name of Mary Edwards on the show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you are definitely my very first motivational speaker guest. Yeah, most definitely. And
well,
and I'm like at a loss for words, but I, from the bottom of my heart, Robert Wesley Branch, because you helped me get started, I want to say happy anniversary, A Touch of Grace, and you made this show so special. And I'm teary-eyed, and I just love you, man, and I'm just grateful that God saw fit to have our paths cross in this life, my brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your openness, for being one of my guests way back in the day. And I look forward to definitely more interchanges like this, and exchanges, rather, like this. That's very positive for both of us. And for all the listeners, I hope people that were listening were able to take away something that's useful in their own lives, too. Because that's really what
most
it's all
definitely.
About.
Most definitely. And you know what? You keep on doing what you're doing, because I tell you, Robert, you really are an inspiration to me. You know, and I know there will go periods of time when we're not, you know, we'll just drop in every now and then and say hello. But you're doing a lot of great things, man, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God is good to me, and I'm grateful to be able to do what I do, because God has made me the man that I am today. And I'm just so, every day I get up, I thank him, and just thank him and thank him and thank him, because I could have easily, my life could have been over a long time ago with some of the things that I was doing.
That makes two of us.
Easily.
That makes
so the fact that I'm still here to do this and that you appreciate it, it's a miracle, and I'm grateful for
that. Man. Well, you know what? You keep on walking in that light that you have, because it's infectious and it's touching everybody. But in the meantime, until we get a chance to talk again, you know, God bless you, Robert Wesley Branch, and you get some sleep, man.
Thank you very much. God bless you, too. We'll talk soon.
Yes, we will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.